Amen. Happy New Year, Hoshins United. Amen. Amen. Sometimes when you have just a moment where your heart wants to spend a little time with Jesus, we should take it. Amen. Well, this morning, I am not Pastor Shannon. I am about a foot taller than I am than him last time I checked. So Pastor Shannon and the family is taking a well-deserved and break at home. They're here in Kodiak. They have some family, and they are attending online, and I greet you on behalf of them. It is an interesting time of the year. I don't know about in your house, but in ours, we tend to take a look back on what things have changed over the past year, maybe 2 or 3 years. And we find that that's a really helpful thing to do because if we're not careful, God is always working in our lives. And if we're not careful, we can, in our endeavor to get to where we're going, sometimes we overlook the good things that God has done in our past 12 months. And so I would invite you to, as we go into this new year, it's a time of reflection, but it's also a time of looking forward and pressing into heaven to guide us and to direct us through all of the uncertainties that are before us in 2023. Our pastor is a man of God that looks forward and but if you don't know it, being a pastor can be interesting. And I just thought this was cute because many folks tend to see pastor only, you know, doing this and thinking, man, what a great job. All I got to do is preach on the Sunday morning and the rest of the week off. I can assure you that is not the life of a pastor. And so if you think that the life of a pastor is a walk in the park, there's a little hint for you. It might be, but it sometimes feels like Jurassic Park. And, you know, while you are, rightfully asking for direction and seeking direction and relating to pastor, they bear that burden 24/7. And so I would just invite you this year to verbalize your appreciation of your pastor regularly. I recently made that commitment I said, Pastor, I didn't say it enough. And, we're good. I mean, it's not like, but it's just helpful to verbalize what's on your heart. So I would invite you to join me in doing that. I have some family in the house here this morning, and it just reminds me of this humor thing. It's always good to start off with a little bit of humor. And the problem that I have is that I have genetic humor that's genetically dry, right? And I get it, and you guys have put up with me. You might be surprised to know that I actually know quite a few jokes in sign language. Did you know that, sweetie? And I guarantee you have not heard them. Some of you are a little slow, but you're worth waiting for. All right. My wife does sign language, but I don't. Well, I would like you to join me in the Bible of Acts chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. Some of us, yay, yeah. Amen. Good to get excited about the Word of God. And I just have a full transparency here. I feel that in the preparation of this, I feel like the Holy Spirit squeezed me. And then the imagery that I get is like squeezing fresh oranges. I haven't done it a lot, but we have some friends that we're about to go see later on this month in Southern California. And one of the things I look forward to is California's fresh squeeze orange juice. Growing up here, I'm the last of 8 kids. If there was something good on the table when we went to eat, it was a dogfight. We argued over the little red half maraschino cherry in a fruit cocktail, a big clan like that. And orange juice, fresh orange juice, was something that I really appreciate at this stage in life because I love it. But that fresh squeezed orange juice, and I what I'm about to share with you, and maybe you'll see it, is that I feel like I've been squeezed like that orange juice in order to produce this word that's ahead. But I trust that that will track, and that the Holy Spirit will get us to where we need to go. Because this morning we're going to be talking about a subject that many of us spend a lot of time, including myself, trying to avoid, and it's the subject of breaking through the pain. In 2023, Pastor has told us that this is something that the Holy Spirit is talking to him about in terms of breakthrough. And many times in life, and many times as we are walking through and working out our salvation, we come head to head with this thing that sometimes we don't even know how we got there, but there's pain. And I want to give us a biblical foundation to be able to process those moments in life, because some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're experiencing right now. And just maybe even being in the house of God might be challenging enough. If that's you, God bless you. This is for you. But we need a foundation so that when pain comes into our life, as we're working out our salvation, that we are equipped with what God has provided for us so that we don't get stymied in that, but we actually move forward and we break through. And I know that, me for one, I can't fake that. It's got to be real. It's got to be the truth of God that works inside of me, that helps me get to a place where I can break through this thing called pain. And I want to go to Acts chapter 10, and this is a passage we're going to read in a little bit. We're going to read the whole chapter, but I want to highlight something here in the life of Peter. We're going to be looking at the man Peter, and we're going to see that he is an example. There are many examples in the Word of God about people that broke through, that had tremendous impact upon the church, upon the nation Israel. And I believe that in the house here this morning, that there are those who have, that possess something that God has given you, and that it is intended to not just bless you, but to that you will become a vessel of God, that God has entrusted something precious to you, that when you get past your pain and when you're able to offer this thing that God has placed inside of you, that it will transform not only your life, but the lives of those around you. And I think it's worth pursuing the pain and overcoming the pain. And so we're going to be looking at Peter as an example. And so I'm going to extract this passage out, and then we're going to take a broader look at it here in a moment. And so it says, "And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me,'" everybody say, "God has shown me." "But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I ask then, for what reason have you sent me?" In my own personal Bible study and my own devotions and time with God, in these past weeks and months, I have been working on developing a better understanding of the process of the human heart, the process of our soul, and what it goes through when you and I experience a shift, sometimes a dramatic shift, in what we believe. It's a subject that captivates me. I've been in this particular church. I've been in church virtually all my life, and I've been in this building here for something over 25 years. And is that right? How long have we been here? A long time, yeah. I ran out of fingers a while back, right? And so, when you're in one place for as long as some of us have been here this morning, you begin to see cycles, you begin to see patterns, and some of the things that we hoped would go better, and that, you know, the ministry would be more effective, et cetera, and it doesn't. And, it's a reflection on leadership to a degree, but it's always before us, and we're always looking for ways to understand so that the truths that we declare, the Word of God that we read and declare, that actually becomes our experience in life. And so, for me, it's taken me into pretty deep areas about understanding how the human heart works and what takes place as how it influences the things that we believe. It's worth doing. There are all kinds of very wild things out in our world today that is difficult and challenging to discern what's true and what's not. Is that all right? And so this whole process of looking and understanding how our own soul and heart works, I think is worth, and I'm going to elaborate a little bit on that here in the life of Peter. One of the things that has been a real anchor of my own faith and my own walk is that the realization that God created Peter Olson and had an encounter with Peter while he was still in his mother's womb. And that there are ramifications to that fact. Every one of us here this morning, whether we know it or understand it, recognize it or not, every one of us have already had a powerful encounter with the person of Jesus. It's in your Bible. And if you want to know more about that, Sunday night at 6:30, we gather here and we do a little gathering and we call it Sunday Night Light and we get into this stuff. And I would invite you to do it. I think it could be very well worth your time. But when God created us, He created us with very specific operating systems. Are there any IT people in the house here this morning? There's somebody back there. Okay, I got you. So we're talking about operating systems, and we talk about the software that runs on our computers and virtually almost everything, the software that runs our cars and our houses and cell phones and everything else. But God created you and I with an operating system that runs on truth. It runs on truth. My wife and I drove this morning and to church in my 150 Ford that I love, and it runs on gas. It's important that I grab the black-handled pump to put into my gasoline Ford F-150 engine. But if I grab the green one, what happens? What goes into it? Diesel, right? I've done it before. And actually, I put gas in the diesel. Same result. It doesn't run right. Why? Because the system of my Ford gasoline-powered pickup is designed to run on gas, not diesel or anything else. Water. Water's bad. And so we need to understand that we were designed, you were, and I were designed to operate on truth. And it's comforting then that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so any time that we try to run our lives on something other than truth, the end result is that we experience pain to one degree or another. Pain. It's important to understand that basic correlation. that any pain that you and I experience is tied, emotional pain, heart pain, is tied to a lie somewhere. Having said that, I would be quick to point out that all pain is not bad. And we're going to see that. There's a part in every one of us here this morning that automatically wants to resist and wants to avoid pain. Right? And I'm going to propose to you here this morning that an example that I heard a number of years ago, that if you're walking down a beach in Kodiak with a black sand on a nice sunny day and there's a piece of broken glass and you cut your foot, if there wasn't pain down there to tell you that something was wrong, you could walk down, maybe the beaches aren't that long here, but along Florida Beach, how's that? And if you didn't know that you were cut and that you were bleeding, you could theoretically walk down that beach and bleed to death and not know that anything was wrong. And so pain actually serves a purpose if we can orient ourselves to understand it and to view it that way. So not all pain is bad, but we need to be able to get to a place where we view it as such and that we utilize and hear the messages that it's telling us. It's not God's fault that truth often brings pain. It's not his fault. Quietly turn to the person next to you and say, it's not his fault. We need to not get mad at God. Amen? It's not his fault. I mean, you and I go to a doctor, right? We'll go to somebody we've never met before, lay down on a table, have them put us out and start carving on us, and we don't get mad at them when we wake up and we're in pain. Or at least I don't. Do any of you get mad at the doctor? And so, you know, it's an example that tells us, that leads to some other truths. You both know that the doctor understands that there will be pain involved with the surgery, but the pain that is involved with doing the surgery promises a better result on the other side. Amen. And so if we understand that there is a way to walk out our life, to walk out our and work out our salvation, where we can address pain with an idea that it's going to be better on the other side, that will help us gather up the courage and the gumption to be able to look pain in the eye and find a way to learn what it's trying to tell us and then let God help us walk through it. Amen. Amen. What happened to Saul of Tarsus? Remember the story? He was the Pharisee of Pharisees, right? He was an extremely learned man in the Scripture. He was a highly ranking Jewish religious person. And he believed that Jesus was a heretic. Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, and Saul of Tarsus didn't think so. And so Saul found it necessary for himself to go out and to persecute the church. And ultimately, he was there when the first martyr, Stephen, died at his feet. And then, recorded in the book of Acts, some of you are familiar with it, Saul of Tarsus has this encounter with Jesus, this powerful encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and it completely revolutionized his life. There was a dramatic change in what he believed in moments. Now, he had to work out the conflicts and everything else that produced, because truth sometimes produces conflicts. But that in that very short encounter with Jesus, his belief system changed, and it changed dramatically. He went from persecuting followers of Jesus to committing his life to ministering to them. He experienced breakthrough. Amen. He's the most prolific writer of your New Testament. But he experienced his breakthrough with a good dose of pain. You see where we're going with this. There are others, many others. Joseph, the story of Joseph, it's a powerful story. But he was unjustly placed in a dungeon for years of his life. He was a devout man. He had a little challenge with ego. But he was a man of character that survived this unfair placement in the dungeon because of things he was accused of that he didn't do. And so God had him there for a number of years, and in a moment, in some similarities with the Apostle Paul, he was brought out of that dungeon and he was placed in the king's palace, and he was the number two guy. And because of that, God used Joseph to literally save a whole region of the planet from a very devastating drought. Did Joseph have a breakthrough? If you're going from the dungeon to the palace in minutes, I would say that qualifies as a breakthrough. How many of you are done with your dungeon and looking forward to the palace? Amen. I'm with you. So he had his breakthrough, but it came through pain. Can we just be honest with each other? It came through pain. Esther experienced pain. She put her own life on the line to foil a wicked plot by a man named Haman. She too experienced breakthrough. The nation of Israel was saved because of Queen Esther and her boldness in there, but it came by the way of pain. So all of us have this automatic tendency to want to avoid pain, but the and in some of the circles that we hang out in, we call that influence that is in each one of our lives, we call that a guardian. And there's something inside of us that wants to guard you and I, our hearts, from experiencing pain. And if it goes unchallenged, we can spend all of our life trying to avoid pain that could possibly be like the pain that the disciples and the apostles experienced that brought their breakthrough. So you and I are driven, only when you and I are driven, by a greater purpose, genuine love, will we be willing to override this guardian in our life and take bold steps that are on the way to our breakthrough? Amen. Amen. You got real quiet. I promise it's going to get better. If we're honest, we understand that there is this uncomfortable love-hate relationship, right? For every follower of Jesus, there's this uncomfortable love-hate relationship with pain. Some of us have been at it long enough, we know, you know, we kind of got to do this, right, sweetie? But we still don't like it. We know it's going to be good for us, but, you know, given an option, if there was an option that we could get to our breakthrough without the pain, how many of us would take it, right? Amen. So if it's true that the point to our breakthrough, and Pastor's going to be sharing some thoughts about this for 2023, if it's true that you and I find our breakthrough and that the vast majority, if not all of the time, that it must go through and by the way of pain, then it serves us well that if we understand how to do that, a scriptural basis for it. Is that all right? And so that's where we want to go here for the rest of our time here this morning. In Psalm 103, verse 7, it says, He made His ways known to Moses. Everybody say ways. His acts to the children of Israel. Say acts. Knowing a person's ways, the way that they conduct life, their character, is always a better indication of who that person is than the things that they do. The way that they do it possesses motives and the heart of the person. And sometimes our actions might be misunderstood by many, but if we understand and know the character and the ways of a person, then we can know that that person and what their motives are and where they're going with it. Knowing what a person does doesn't always indicate a clear indication of what their motive is. And the fact that breakthrough comes to us on the other side of pain is in fact a way of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus told us to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I'm proposing to you this morning that if we want to experience breakthrough, that we're going to follow the life and the illustration of Jesus, and it's going to come through a measure of pain. And the thing here this morning that I would say is, please, please, please do not attempt to do it alone. Amen. Don't do it alone. You're here this morning, and that's good. But we need to have people that we can go to that are in our circle, that when the life, the challenge in life come around, that we know that we can go there, that our hearts are safe with them, and that they will recognize and sometimes counsel us. Sometimes a friend will counsel us in ways we don't like. But if they're speaking truth, the Bible says that the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy, right? And so I follow General Michael Flynn. I don't know if some of you might know him, but the way he puts it in military terms is embrace the suck. I mean, I get that, right? Pretty direct. Hebrews 5:8 says that though he was a son, he, Jesus, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Jesus suffered more than any of us, and he learned obedience through it. Matthew 7:24 through 27 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended. How many of us can relate to that? Living in Kodiak. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Jesus is telling us, he told us plainly that in this life there's going to be trouble. There's going to be pain. And with that, being armed with that truth, then we want to make our pain count. Years and years ago, I read a book that probably 40 years ago. And the title of the book was Don't Waste Your Sorrows. You and I paid dearly for our sorrows. Don't waste them. Let's take the challenges that we face and learn and let God to show us how that they can be used to lead us to our breakthrough. Amen. This is the way to the palace, church. This is the way. So I want to go back to Acts chapter 10 and finish this story between Peter and Cornelius, because we're going to find out that, like we just read when we opened up, that Peter was a Jewish man. And Peter's story is a lot of it is actually laid out in the scriptures for us. And but we find that in Acts chapter 10 that we see Peter, that he's operating in agreement and consistent with the Spirit of God, and some tremendous things begin to happen. I love this story because it explicitly tells us that Peter was given a vision and he was spoken this, and Peter acted upon it, And then the Holy Spirit's over here talking to this leader in the Roman army, and he's saying, this dude named Peter is going to come, and I'm in it. How many of us like when God does those sorts of things? We get these divine encounters with other people, and it can be scary, it can be exciting, but when we see that it was the hand of God, and that it wasn't something that we arranged or that anybody else arranged, it was directly a event that came from the throne room of God, that adds a relationship between us and the Holy Spirit that only gets strengthened. And so it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. Have you ever had heaven call your name? I have. I turned around and I said, what? And there was nobody in the house. Heaven called my name. That's kind of cool. Heaven knows your name. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows all there is about us. But he said, Cornelius, and when he observed him, he was afraid and said, well, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up before a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now let's get this, that Cornelius is having this meeting with this angel, right? And this angel is telling Cornelius things that there was no way that Cornelius could understand. There was no way for Cornelius to understand who Peter was, where he was doing, where he was staying, giving the address and say, go, he's got something for you. I would submit to you that if the Holy Spirit, if an angel came and spoke to you this afternoon and said, I need you to go and talk to Ralph. After you get off your airplane later today, Ralph's going to have this red jacket. He's going to be standing over there by the baggage claim. And I've already told him that this lovely young lady that has a fresh word of God's going to show up to him, and he's going to be ready for you. How many of you would like that? I like when I'm the guy in the red jacket and somebody comes up and shares something, you know, wonderful with me, right? But that's what's going on here. And so Cornelius got these instructions, and then he acted upon it. He acted upon it. He made decisions. He exercised his authority, and he directed these people to go do exactly what the angel had said. So that's Cornelius' side of the story. Now we look briefly at Peter's side of the story. And it says, then the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, about noon. Then he became, I can really relate to Peter then, right about that time of the day, he said he became very hungry. He said, yeah, Peter, you go too long, you're going to have a house full of that here yourself. He became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they were made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened up, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descended to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, said, rise, Peter, eat, kill, and eat. But Peter, being the devout Jewish man that he was, said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again a second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter was wondering within himself, if you have a vision like that, you have to understand that in this vision, Peter was getting conflicted, right? He's a Jewish man, and according to Jewish law, there were certain things that you were explicitly forbidden to eat. And in this vision that came from heaven, the voice said something contrary to the Jewish law. And he said, take it up, eat. What I've blessed, let no man, including the Jewish law, call common. And so Peter is processing this. So it says, while Peter was wondering within himself what this vision, which he had seen, meant, behold, men who had been sent from Cornelius made their inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, the guys have showed up. Pete Olson translation, right? They're down there waiting for you. And arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the man who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he who you speak. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man who fears God and has a good reputation among all of the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to the house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged with them. And on the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And then the story goes on. And Peter has this meeting with Cornelius. Peter followed through on what the vision had told him and what heaven had told him to do. And he said, go with them. I've made this arrangement. But Peter knew that there was going to be a cost to this. He knew that by going so and representing what we would know as the early church, that there would be those around him that he is accountable to that will question him why he went, because it not only broke the Jewish law for him to go to a Gentile's house, but to actually eat things that were explicitly forbidden by the Mosaic law. Peter met with Cornelius. Some really cool things happen. Jesus shows up and wrecks the place. Sometimes Christianity gets messy. And I pray that we experience some holy messes sometimes here in this church. That we give him enough permission to shake things up enough to where nothing else matters, but that we're good with Jesus, that he's in the house, and that no matter where I'm at or where I'm going, that being with Jesus is enough, and I'm just going to be here and let him minister to me. How many of us are in on that? I mean, it can get messy. I've seen this get messy at the altars and God doing things. And I've had the privilege of watching lives that God does messy things with, sometimes at these altars, later on to become men and women of God that are making an impact in their sphere of influence. And I had the privilege of being there at a messy time with Jesus. I love it. It's a little scary sometimes, but if Jesus is in it, it's okay. So Peter knows that this is going on, and he knew that it was against the Jewish law for him to go to meet with Cornelius and certainly to eat of forbidden food. And I propose to you that Peter's willingness to meet with Cornelius was connected to the pain Peter experienced while Jesus was at the cross and in the tomb. Peter experienced a breakthrough. He took bold steps for Jesus. when he was given explicit instructions. God help us, church, that Jesus gives you and I instructions that we have the boldness of faith that we would walk them out like what Peter did in this story. Knowing that if Jesus is directing us, no matter what it looks like, no matter that there might be pain involved, but that we trust Jesus enough to know that on the other side is a breakthrough that is destined for your life and for mine. And so Peter had experience to this. And you may not have thought and connected these in this way before, but Peter, remember what happened just before the cross, right? Peter, Jesus asked Peter, he said, "Do you love me?" He asked him three times. "Do you phileo me? Peter, do you phileo me?" The third time he changed it. He said, "Peter, do you agape me? Do you really love me, Peter, the way that I love you?" And the Bible says that Peter was he was dismayed because on that third time, Jesus used the word agape. And so one thing leads to another. Peter is the guy that always gets out in front of Jesus, right? I mean, he was the one who was trying to figure out how to feed the 5,000. Jesus had to sit him down and say, "Just go get the little boy with the sandwich, would you? And we'll deal with it. I got this, Peter." But Peter was always trying to figure out Jesus before and get ahead of him. I know nobody in this house would ever do anything like that. You complete trust in Jesus and you don't try to figure things out for him. I don't. My nose is growing. But Peter denied Jesus. Remember, Peter was there when the feeding of the 5,000 took place. Right? Peter was there when Jesus walked on the water. Wouldn't it be cool? No boat inspection needed. If the thing goes down, we're just going to walk, right? Amen. He was there. There was no way that Peter could deny the lordship of Jesus because he was there when Lazarus came out of the grave. He was there. He saw the passion and the compassion of Jesus moving on the people, and Peter was a firsthand witness when he saw the lame man walk and the blind man given sight. And yet, just before the crucifixion, when Jesus, in a manner of speaking, could have used Peter's support the most, just before the crucifixion, remember, Jesus knew where he was going, right? It'd be nice to have a nice word along the way to your cross by your closest friend. How many of you understand? But Peter was, there was a part of Peter that came out. And when he was questioned about his relationship with Jesus, he denied that he even knew him. It's those nasty parts that doubt. That wasn't all of Peter, because most of Peter knew and remembered the miracles. But when the heat of the moment, when the potential for pain came, Peter denied Jesus. And then we know the story. Jesus goes on to the cross, and Peter witnesses Jesus dying on the cross, and Peter was conflicted inside. How do we reconcile the one, when he was born, all of heaven came and had a worship service, with Jesus dying on the cross? How do we... It's either he is or he's not, but in this case, it looks like he's both. And Peter is thinking to himself, "Right, I gave out on Jesus. I sold out on Jesus right at the moment that he needed me the most. And now he's on the cross. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to just have to deal with this conflict that's going on inside of my heart." And Peter is thinking, "How am I going to live the rest of my life with this degree of pain and conflict inside of my heart with no possible ability to reconcile with Jesus?" Do you see what the background that Peter had. This was intense pain for Peter. Intense pain for him. Jesus was dead. Peter realized that he may be judged for all of eternity by his greatest failure. How many of us would like to be judged by our greatest failure? Tough stuff, right? Most of us have a pretty good idea where the failures are in our life, and if we could find a place and a person that we could share those with that would help us process those things, it would be something that all of us would welcome. But the challenge is that we come up and deal with that part of Peter that shows up with the people around us, and sometimes that part of Peter is me. I have a responsibility to the people around me that I love and that God has given to me to be that person of character, to be willing to face the pain in anticipation of the breakthrough on the other side. And I've experienced some breakthroughs. Some of them are in the house. So Peter experienced the full brunt of this pain associated with the realization that he had betrayed Jesus. And for 3 days, he suffered through the thought that his betrayal would become his identity for the rest of his life. And it's at this point where Peter's mind went to a theoretical place that he was hoping might happen sometime in the future. Have you ever said, I'll never do that again? I'll never do that again. I was as a teenager. He knows some of these stories. I'll never do that again, only to do it the next weekend. Try to figure it out in between on the weekdays. Why in the world am I so great on Wednesday and so stupid on Saturday? Peter had his stupid moment and it conflicted him, and this thought came across in Peter's mind: if I have another opportunity to stand for Jesus, I'm going to find a way. I didn't do it this last time, but this time I'm going to find a way to stand up the way that I know I ought to be. And I'm willing to face the pain that might bring, because the pain of denying Jesus and having to live with that the rest of my life is too much. Church, the reality is that most of us do that calculation. We're rather unwilling to take risks and to take the possibility of pain on unless we know that the pain of staying where we are is greater than what it is to venture forward. And what I'm telling you this morning is that by the Word of God and my own testimony, that the breakthrough on the other side of the pain is worth it. Jesus isn't asking us to do something He Himself didn't do. And he's inviting us. He says, I know that it hurts. I know that it's painful. But I'm telling you, Jesus is telling us, He's saying, the things on the other side of that pain, if we walk this thing out, if we summon the faith that we need to act in obedience like Cornelius and Peter did, that if we summon that faith, that Jesus is going to take us to a place that is better than where we are today. And I want that. I want that for Peter Olson's life. I want it for Peter Olson's family. I want it for his marriage. I want it for his home. I want it for his church. And so I'm inviting you. If Jesus leads us in a way of pain, let's trust Him enough to know that He's taking us through it, because on the other side of that pain is the breakthrough that our hearts really want. And so we have a whole year to figure this out. And I want to see it. I want the promises that belong to Pete Olson to be reflected in Pete Olson's life, and that he sees it and understands it, and that it becomes manifest. It's not just some theology that's somewhere, but that I actually get to see the hand of God moving in my life like it moved in Peter's life. How many of us want that? Let's encourage one another to the point where we pause, and our brothers and sisters look at us and they're pausing and they're saying, and they come up to him and they say, go for it. Just go for it. Jesus will take care of you. Can we grow a culture inside of Oceans United in Kodiak, Alaska, where we are willing, we recognize that the pain that is before us is worth it? And that as a culture of Oceans United, we understand that, we embrace the suck, and we say, Jesus, I don't like this, but it's you. If you are in it, I'm willing to go. Help me. Powerful prayer, two words, help me. Amen. I'm getting sweaty up here. It's getting close. Amen. The grave wasn't the end of Peter's story. Hallelujah. Peter went through the day of Pentecost. This is in your Bible. Read it. Book of Acts. Cool stuff. And Peter experienced his breakthrough. Jesus knew Peter's heart so well. Jesus had this very brief meeting with the angel. And then he said, angels, sit here. Some of my disciples are going to show up. They're going to wonder what in the world's happening. And there's some things I need you to say when they come. When they see the stone is rolled away, you know, just tell them, Jesus, that I'm not there. And that they're to go tell the others. And then in the book of Mark, it's recorded this way. It says, go tell the others. And Peter. Jesus knew the excruciating pain and doubt and suffering that Peter had gone through for the previous 3 days. And he said, he's gone through it. I'm coming. Tell Peter explicitly that I'm not here. We got time, Peter, to work this out. We got time to process the denial and all of that. And Peter, I'm good. Would you stand with me? Was Peter's pain fun? Those are two words that you just can't put together, right? Pain and fun. But there are two words, because you are here this morning, that you can put together. And they are one of the most unlikely two words that you can put together and make sense out of it. And that is pain and breakthrough. Jesus, it would just be wonderful. Right at the first week of 2023, that right here, for those of us that lifted up those things that were getting in the way of my heart following after you, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just got a dose of breakthrough right at the beginning of the year? Breakthrough that takes us through the weeks and months ahead. Breakthrough that changes our belief system and changes the way our heart functions when we see pain. It was Peter's overcoming of his pain that qualified him to be used by God. His obedience mattered. It affects us this morning. It's afternoon. But it affects us today because what Jesus showed and what heaven did was orchestrated this meeting, even though there was pain involved between Peter and Cornelius, and the product that came out of it was this realization that God was interested in salvation for more than just the Jewish people. You and I this morning, having made Jesus our Lord and Savior, the Bible says that we are accepted in the Beloved. And I don't think I have one cell of Jewish blood in me. But because of what Jesus did, no matter if I've been stuck in my own pain, and I, brother, sister, I'll weep with you. If that's you this morning, I mean it, I will. Because God has brought me through enough to recognize that if I trust Him, it's hard to trust Jesus when you're in pain. But if I learn how to do that, that it equips me and qualifies me to experience Jesus on the other side of the pain, and that I walk in that breakthrough. In just a moment, I'm going to dismiss us. I'm going to pray and then He'll dismiss us. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could trust Jesus for a few moments here and just encourage one another and to pray for one another, that we'd be better equipped this year, that our own pain that we might be dealing with, our own uncertainty that we might be dealing with this here this morning, that we could approach heaven and just say, Lord, help me to be like Peter. Help the pain that I've already gone through and the lessons that I've already gone through count for something here this morning as I seek you out, Lord, that I would walk in the goodness that you speak of. And so I'm going to invite you to come on if you would like to have some prayer. I'm going to pray now and then we'll be dismissed. God bless you, church, as when we're dismissed here. God bless you. Father, I thank you this morning for your presence. Lord, this is a challenging subject. But I thank you, Father, that in the house of God that we have broken the bread of your word and we have laid out the foundations that you have set before us. And Lord, that as we go into this year, that we would do so with the hope that what we are experiencing, the challenges that we are experiencing, will equip us for better things ahead. I pray that over every soul that hears the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that as the people of God, that you would help us to love one another more closely, that we would take risks if it means that we could bless a brother or sister. Help us to make this gathering a safe place, that whatever you want to do, Jesus, that all of the possibilities of heaven might be present in this place, in this house, in this city, in this time. So, Lord, we just want to confess to you that we love you, We thank you. We honor you. We declare, Jesus, you are my way maker. You are the one that connects me to where I am right now, to my breakthrough. Help our faith, Lord Jesus. I pray that God, and the Spirit of God, be with you and go with you as you go from this place, and that God would bring to remembrance what you need for this week. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. You are dismissed. Speak an encouraging word to someone. And I'd love to be able to pray with anybody here this morning. But God bless you. Go your way in peace.